Okay, welcome to our blab. Now, I'm talking to Christine Bailey from Advanced Nutrition, and today is National Stress Awareness Day. Now, I realise that with this blab, we have a lot of international people watching, but it's a UK National Stress Awareness Day. And Christine has written a blog, actually. I wouldn't say to celebrate National Stress Awareness Day, because stress is nothing to celebrate, but it is something that we all need to recognise. Wouldn't you say, Christine?
Absolutely. I mean, we know from, this is UK studies, but some of the latest UK studies have actually suggested that 75 to 80% of doctors' visits are actually related to stress and workload.
Interesting.
You know, the majority of people that I see, and I do a lot of corporate talks throughout the country, but particularly in London, one of the most regularly requested seminars is stress and how can I, first of all, recognize it, but also what can I practically do, whether that's nutrition, diet, lifestyle, to actually tackle it, because we actually know that there are very long-term chronic effects of stress. So it is important that we take this seriously.
Right, absolutely. Now, you hear all the time, in fact, I hear from people very close to me that, my workload at work is very high, I'm completely stressed out, I need a holiday, all these type of things. And you hear more and more people actually going on long-term sickness leave because of stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, we need to be recognizing when we're almost not able to cope, when our resilience is low, before we get to that stage. And let me just ask a few questions. So some of the questions that may indicate that stress is having an effect on your health will be things like, how do you feel when you wake up in the morning? Do you feel that it's a struggle to get out of bed? Is it always difficult, even if you've had a good night's sleep? Do you get regular energy dips through the day? Do you reach for caffeine, coffee, tea, or Coke to keep you going, or a sugary treat? Do you crave salt? Do you find that, you know, you feel overwhelmed a lot of the time? Do you get irritable quickly? Do you struggle with sleep? And so it might be that, you know, you actually have low energy through the day and then you almost wind yourself back up at night and your head's racing and you can't unwind. Those are all quite subtle indications that your adrenal glands, and it's your adrenal glands, and they sit on top of your kidneys and they produce our stress hormones. And when we overwork them, we cannot maintain a good hormonal balance. And that then starts to lead to some of these signs and symptoms.
Right. Interesting. Now, you're a nutritionist and, and chef.
Mm.
How can we address stress through nutrition?
That's a really good question. I mean, first of all, it's worth saying that so our adrenal glands, they are tiny. I mean, they're about the size of a pea. I mean, they're really small. But they produce hormones, and particularly cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline. You know, if a car sort of comes at you and you get that sort of fluttering in your heart, that will be the adrenaline. But your long-term stress hormone, which is more important in a way, and that's more for long-term survival, is cortisol. Now, to produce cortisol, your body needs really key nutrients. And if we're low in those, and this is where food comes in, then our adrenals cannot function. So we utilize lots of magnesium, vitamin C. In fact, your adrenal glands store more vitamin C than any other organ in your body. That's how important vitamin C is. B vitamins, particularly B5, and protein, because we need the amino acids to produce cortisol. So when we look at diet, what we want is we want high quality protein, because not only does that stabilize your blood sugar, so then you don't get dips in energy, but also it's providing your building blocks to producing cortisol and the other hormones. So fish, eggs, chicken, meat, beans, pulses, if you're vegetarian. Magnesium. Now, really interesting. Signs of magnesium deficiency: aching legs, low energy, restless legs at night, difficulty sleeping, cramps when you exercise in particular. I'll just get rid of that. So someone calling me now for stress. Leafy greens. We always talk about leafy greens, I know, but as a nutritionalist, you know, I absolutely love to recommend kale, spinach, broccoli. I don't care how you get it in, just get it in. And then also vitamin C. So vitamin C, berries, lemons, oranges. But also remember things like red peppers actually contain more vitamin C than an orange. So a lot of vegetables contain a lot of vitamin C. And then B vitamins. So again, a lot of the lean meats, but also things like leafy greens and also nuts and seeds. So those are the key nutrients. But let me just ask you one thing, Paul. Are you someone that eats regularly? Do you skip meals? How do you eat?
Am I someone who eats regularly? You've only got to look at me to see that I eat regularly, absolutely. But you know what's more interesting is that some of those symptoms that you mentioned, restless leg, not being able to sleep right the way through at night, those types of things actually are symptoms that I have personally. And I don't consider myself someone who is stressed, although I know that at times I do suffer or do get stressed. But I don't know. I don't know whether it's because maybe I'm strong-minded or whatever that I manage to cope with it. Although my wife might disagree sometimes, because one of the other things that you mentioned there was irritability, which I do get. You know, when I'm stressed and I'm busy, I'm working, and I get disturbed, that's when I get irritable. And maybe that is something.
And remember that stress affects people in very, very different ways. So I was mentioning earlier to someone that I work a lot with athletes and people that love sport. You don't have to be professional. Now, that is a type of stress on the body. That the stress is really anything that the body perceives as a threat.
Right.
So if you are someone who works out hard, you know, once or twice a day and does not allow yourself to recover, that's stress on the body. If you're going through a big emotional upheaval in your life, that's stress on the body. If you are, you know, working all the hours and not sleeping enough, that's stress on the body. So the body doesn't really care what type of stress it is. It will still respond in the same way, and that is to produce cortisol, which is our survival sort of hormone for stress. But that then has lots of knock-on effects to how we can balance our blood sugar. But also, interestingly, and one of the questions I mentioned was, do you crave salt? Which might seem a bit of a strange question to ask about stress, but your adrenal glands also produce something called aldosterone. Without getting too technical, it controls sodium and potassium. Now, when we're stressed and we cannot start controlling that level of aldosterone, we actually start leaching more sodium from our cells, which means we start craving salt because actually our bodies need it. So if you're someone that says, well, no, I don't actually like sweet foods, that's not a problem. It's the salt I love. You know, I love the crisps. I love the salted nuts. I love sticking salt on my food. That's probably an indication that your adrenal glands need support. Now, for those techie-minded or sciencey one people, you can actually test through a laboratory your adrenal function. So it's not just a question of saying, well, I think I'm stressed, I might be, I might not. You can actually do a lab test. So what you do is, and this is one of the most frequently requested tests that I order for clients, it's a saliva test. And what you do effectively is spit into a tube first thing in the morning, lunchtime, mid-afternoon and nighttime, and it will track your, it will measure effectively your cortisol. And what we should have is cortisol really nice and high in the morning, because cortisol is our waking up hormone. It gets us out of bed. So if you struggle to get out of bed, it's likely you're not producing enough. And then gradually through the day, cortisol should decline. And it should be really low at night, because cortisol blocks melatonin. And of course, melatonin, as everyone knows, is our sleep hormone. We need that nighttime. So if you're someone that then almost feels they get a second wind at night, it's likely you are actually producing too much cortisol then, and it's blocking melatonin and you can't sleep.
Right.
So that's a really good way, is to measure it, to get a lab test, because like you, Paul, you know, you can think from time to time, well, I might be stressed, might not. And then you push it aside and you carry on and you keep going. Whereas if you've actually got a lab test that says, do you know what, Paul? You are stressed. You need to do something about it. You are much more likely, I think, to be compliant in actually then doing something about, right, I need to take some supplements, I need to do some lifestyle changes or dietary changes.
I mean, without a doubt, with me, the lifestyle change, you I mean, I don't drink, mm-hmm. I don't smoke, mm-hmm. I don't do drugs, I don't do anything really that I shouldn't do, except for eat too much.
Right.
And probably, and the strange thing is that I love healthy food. All those things you mentioned earlier, yeah. All the green stuff like kale, and I absolutely love all that stuff. But unfortunately, I like the crap too.
Yeah. Well, let me just give some, just a few tips. So what we normally suggest is, particularly for stress, in the morning, and this is where, you know, we've talked about primal roost in the past, but this is where that would help, because in the morning, try and get some breakfast in and try and make it protein-based. I mean, there was just another study that came out today or yesterday about how important protein is to stabilize blood sugar in the morning. Well, you know, eggs or some smoked salmon or something like that.
Oh, I love smoked salmon. You know,
that would be a good breakfast. So ditch the sugary cereals, ditch the toast and go for protein. And then if you can regularly eat a little bit of protein, maybe a handful of nuts, some olives, a bit of avocado, and then have, you know, some fish and salad or meat and salad for lunch, and then similar sort of evening, that's a much better way of not only supporting energy, but also making sure that, you know, we don't pile on the pounds, but we just stabilize our blood sugar.
Right. Interesting. Now, is there anything that we can do? We've got a bit of an echo there. I'm not sure where that's coming from. But anyway, it's gone now. Is there anything we can do other than fruit nutrition to manage our stress? I don't know, the way we walk or the way we talk. Attitude, that type of thing.
Absolutely. So for those of you listening, a really good book to read about is called The Blue Zones. And this is world famous now, because what the researchers did was they looked at all the areas in the world where people regularly live over 100 and also live healthily. So, you know, they're not just stuck in the nursing home. They are active. They're walking up mountains. They're really healthy. Now, one thing they found was, because their diets were quite different, but the things they found was they do regular exercise as part of their normal routine. So they regularly walk somewhere, whether that's, you know, up mountains or whatever. It's regularly part of their day. It's not like, oh, I have to fit in an hour at the gym. They also have, and this is really important, a sense of community. So they have loving family or friends, or they have a social network. And that has been shown to be really important for handling stress, which makes sense. You know, you can offload on someone. You feel supported if there are problems. And of course, these days we're a lot more isolated, or we don't want to admit that actually we might need some help. And obviously, in line with that is getting time out, rest. I know, laughing, you know, laughing is a really good way of de-stressing, having fun with people, making sure you get plenty of sleep, you know, all of these things are just as important.
I suppose a change is as good as a rest as well. And you mentioned that sense of community. And if you get involved with something in the community, away from your day-to-day work, I suppose that can help you just remove yourself from a certain situation that may be stressing you out.
Yeah, and you're switching off. You're probably interacting with people who aren't related to your job, so you're not just talking about work all the time, which, you know as well as I do, when you're self-employed, it's quite easy to almost get a bit obsessed about it, and that's all you think about. And sometimes it's nice to have a break. I mean, kids help with that. You know, we've both got children. That actually helps us to put everything in perspective.
Although that can add stress to
it
you
can,
as well. It did to me last night at bedtime when my daughter did not want to go to sleep.
And particularly when you know children are very young, that can actually interfere with stress as well, because you're not actually getting enough sleep. But, you know, just taking time out and, you know, going for a walk. I'll tell you another thing that a lot of people find it's worth doing as well is I know it's a bit of a cliche, but mindfulness and mindful eating. So instead of just grabbing something, you know, heading out the car or walking when you're eating, to actually say, you know what, it's time to eat. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit at a table and I'm going to be conscious about what I'm eating rather than just seeing it as a quick way of refueling from the garage. You know, and again, what that actually does is when you slow down, you actually stimulate your digestive secretions, which helps you digest food better anyway. So then you don't get that reflux and indigestion, which again is often associated with stress.
But perhaps as well help you absorb the actual nutrients from the food you're eating. I mean, I'm guilty of that. I did it today. I was busy. Mm. I was working and eating my lunch at the same time. I suppose, and I'm conscious that's. I've always known that's not a good thing. My wife's always telling me off for doing that.
And we know. I mean, this is a scientific fact. You know, just from biological processes in our body, when we start to even think about food, we start the stimulation of amylase in our mouth, which is a digestive enzyme. So if we give our time for our body and our pancreas and our stomach to start producing the digestive secretions we need, we will not get so many issues with reflux, burning sensations, a heaviness on the stomach. All of those are symptoms that your digestion is not right and therefore just slowing down. I'll tell you the other thing, really good to stop you overeating. So if you slow down, you know, it takes a little while for the brain to recognize that actually you're full. You don't need any more food.
So you eat more than what you need to eat.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes that happens when you've almost gone too long without eating. Not only is your blood sugar rock bottom and you're irritable and moody, but you almost eat more quickly. You stuff it in and you actually end up overeating. So that's why sometimes when you are someone who's quite stressed or low in energy, having a couple of protein snacks during the day may actually be useful. There are times when you don't need to, you know, you're just eating for the sake of it. But actually, sometimes that can be useful because it stops you getting so ravenous that you just literally eat whatever you can find.
Okay. Now, what about drink?
Well, alcohol is a big stress on the body.
I didn't mean alcohol. Right, but I mean in the importance, because you know, I don't like water, water that is. I get bored of it. I like fizzy water with a little bit of cordial in it.
Okay, which
to flavour it. But yeah, I know I don't drink anywhere near as much water as I should.
And we've mentioned before on some of the podcasts that sometimes people mistake hunger for thirst. And actually just having an extra drink can be helpful. So you could do, I don't know whether you're a fan of herbal teas, peppermint.
I don't mind red tea.
Yeah. You know, sometimes just having a hot drink, some lemon in water. I mean, a lot of people now buy, you know, drinking bottles, you know, these non-PVC type PVA ones. And we'll just chop up either, it sounds a bit strange, cucumber or even lemon and orange. And just put it so that it infuses in the water and just keep it in the fridge. Other people prefer warm water.
Well, my wife does that. I mean, she doesn't drink tea or coffee. She might have the odd latte when she's out and about, but all she drinks is giant mugs of hot. When I make her drink in the morning, it's a giant mug of hot water.
And that's great. And for some people, that's a really good way of, again, just stimulating digestion first thing in the morning. Other people will find that, you know, they can't deal with caffeine, and that's common. And particularly if you are adrenally stressed, although it might pick you up immediately, it will destabilize blood sugar. So be very careful how much caffeine you eat. But there are some alternatives. So if you go to like a Holland & Barrett or health shop, you can get something called dandelion coffee. Now, it does not taste like coffee, but it's a nice alternative to coffee. There's chicory as well. That's worth trying.
I should check that out because I drink a lot of coffee. Other than food is my only other vice. You know, I love coffee. Yeah. And I do drink too much of it. Maybe I need to find an alternative.
And that might be an indication, Paul, that you are adrenally affected, because caffeine will disturb the blood sugar. It will give you an initial pickup. And often if you find that you're not craving it, but having it quite regularly, that might be your prop. So right. Although other people might do alcohol or sugary drinks, it might be that it's caffeine. So maybe try dandelion coffee. I drink dandelion coffee. I think it's fantastic.
Where do you get it from?
You can get it from any health shop, but Holland and Barrett do it online. Holland and Barrett, and they right. do it online as well. But there's another reason why a lot of people drink dandelion coffee is dandelion root traditionally has been used to stimulate bile flow. And bile is used to emulsify your fat. So if you're anyone that's suffered with gallstones or any bile problems, or you just find that when you eat fatty food, it disagrees with you, try dandelion coffee. It's worth a go because, you know, it. All you do is add it. It comes as a powder, and you just use it like you would ordinary coffee, and you can add milk to it if you want. It's worth a go.
Okay, now we're gonna bring this to an end now. How can people find out more about you and what the services that you offer, Christy?
Yeah, so we mentioned at the beginning, and I know you posted the link. I've written a blog. Yeah, I've written a blog on foods to help you slim and beat stress, and that will just give you a bit more overview about how being stressed can actually make you end up putting on fat, particularly fat around the middle. So read that. And then on my website and my Facebook page, you can contact me about my clinic and the adrenal test that I mentioned. And also, if you look at the shop, there's a lot of the supplements that I mentioned that you can use, you know, to tackle stress or just help you get through, you know, maybe a stressful period. And you can contact me on christinebailey.co.uk.
Fantastic. Now, you also have a podcast channel, which is Christine Bailey Advanced Nutrition. So do a search on iTunes and you'll find that, no problem at all. Same on Stitcher and other similar apps. And also you're developing your Facebook page. So we're going to embed this video on there as well as make a podcast out of this. And you're going to be doing more regular blabs as well. So people will be able to come in and just ask any question they want.
Absolutely.
And you'll be there to offer that advice, which is fantastic. Christine, thanks very much for taking part in this. It's great, especially on such an important day, I think, National Stress Awareness Day. I think it is important, like we said at the beginning of this, more and more people are stressed out. We hear it all the time. And I think that you've added a lot of value to National Stress Awareness Day. And I hope that people will share your content out on their social media. So thanks very much.
Brilliant. Thank you, Paul.